For those who wish to continue the meeting, please take your seats.
No matter what comes
up. We're on the air. Ron, we are back in session. Thank you very much for honoring close to 5 minutes. I do not see any municipal official here, but if someone's here and I don't notice them as a municipal official, please make yourself known. Otherwise, we will move on. We don't have any special topical presentation. Under Chair's report, I will note that we did have a notice in the red folders. One of the communications was a letter from Frank. I believe at this moment that is moot, and therefore I will not be acting on it. Your letter called on me to act in a manner regarding continuing breach, I believe, and that has now been resolved.
Leslie is the vice chair.
Yes, let me proceed through other matters. In your red folders, you have a variety of papers. We have committee assignments, committee appointments. We have chair's appointments. There's an overview, a charge to committees, but that's particularly for committee chairs to look at certain topics throughout the year and report back to this body. I will give a very brief message regarding some of those assignments so we can get on to the rest of the business of the evening. So to my legislative colleagues, to all county employees and county residents, given a lengthening horizon of fiscal uncertainty and mounting realities of human need facing all New York counties, governing in 2009 will undoubtedly be significantly more challenging than 2008. Yet thankfully, serving the public good in all that we do will continue to be our guiding principle. Looking back, 2008 was a year of transition for our world, our nation, our state, and our county. Our local transitions last year, among other things, included welcoming a new county administrator, a new legislative chair, a new director of probation, and a compilation of many dozens of examples of milestone achievements in county government across our community. In an effort to keep this message mercifully brief, I've appended about 5 dozen highlights that our county administrator helped collect from departments. I will just mention one. We did complete Tompkins County's Public Safety Communication System, our largest capital project in county history, on time and on budget. There are dozens more. They deserve attention. We will post them on the website. We call them points of pride. And I have, they're all justifiable for all citizens of Tompkins County who will benefit from these enduring assets. And if you want to visit them to review, appreciate, and celebrate those highlights, I encourage you to do so. In looking ahead, it's clear that despite 2009 starting with a very public internal challenge, it is our external challenges, based on worsening fiscal realities, that will require all of our collective resources to meet the growing needs of struggling community residents. Fortunately, Tompkins County is poised, as well as any county in New York State, to excel in our operations in meeting these very real human needs. Our department heads and managers are innovative, highly competent professionals, and truly dedicated team leaders in developing interdepartmental strategies to increase effective service delivery across all areas of our operations. Additionally, the signature trait of our entire workforce is their high commitment to public service as a calling and a privilege. And every member of this legislature is, as evidenced tonight, deeply passionate about contributing our best to achieve the long-term public good for our constituents countywide. I thank each of you for guiding overall policy and priorities, incorporating the widest perspective we can gather to make the wisest decisions for all. Thus, Tompkins County has the talent and skill sets to take advantage of every opportunity that are embedded in the present challenges to more professionally serve our citizens, while at the same time investing in effective strategies to better position us to meet the future needs of the public as they emerge. We are well prepared for an uncertain future. In 2009, Tompkins County will not play the blame game. While it's certainly true that over 75% of all programs run by counties are mandated by higher levels of government, and more are being considered, including the unconscionable retroactive cuts in reimbursements, we have actually exceptional local resources to meet every challenge with vision and common purpose. We've been visiting our federal and New York State representatives. We will keep up that educational full-court press to our best advantage. But our best resources are local. The 100,000 people in this county who can and are facing an uncertain future together and will thrive because of that common purpose, not waiting for an outside savior. To effectively mobilize our legislative and community resources, in your folders you'll find 2009 committee assignments with an accompanying handout that outlines 11 key areas that will require a great deal of our organizational attention in the year ahead. For brevity, I will highlight just three. One, maintaining community-wide economic security for all, taxpayers and those who rely on us for services alike. Two, demonstrating public value for every tax dollar through performance management tools. And three, deepening partnerships with public and private stakeholders to ensure a vital quality of life for decades to come. To optimize our legislative focus, I'm appointing six 2009 legislative committees and one special committee for these demands ahead. Nathan Shinagawa has become one of our several champions for a performance management ethic, infusing our continuously learning organization. And thus, I've asked him to chair the newly titled Government Performance and Workforce Relations Committee, which is essentially a combination of Government Operations and Human Resources Committees. I've asked Jim Dennis in chairing what is now to be called the Budget, Capital, and Finance Committee, and Frank Frodo in continuing to chair the Health and Human Services Committee, to assist the organization to best position itself for short and long-term economic security for our community residents and organizations. While all committees will assess the partnership opportunities at hand that will become essential when facing our growing fiscal threats, the Planning, Development, and Environmental Quality Committee, to be chaired by Pam McAsee, the Facilities and Infrastructure Committee, to be chaired again by Leslie McBean Claiborne, and the Public Safety Committee, to be chaired by Martha Robertson, will be ideally positioned to achieve community-wide goals with the assistance of local institutional partners and many hundreds of volunteers serving on advisory boards. Tompkins County is healthy, financially strong, and resilient in our capacity to meet the economic and social environment threatening to overwhelm us. It is the people of this county, our county leaders, our employees, our legislators, and ultimately you, our county residents, who are both our board of directors and those whom we serve. We all are our strongest source of ingenuity, caring, and mutual support. And this team allows us to continue to be able to turn adversity into achievement. With so much important work before us, taking pride in the existing strength of our Tompkins County teamwork will inspire our hearts and minds for the demanding and ultimately satisfying tasks ahead. For we hold to a common purpose, improving our community for the benefit of generations to come. Thank you in advance for your service in 2009 on behalf of all residents of Tompkins County. I encourage you again to look at the points of pride, and I will just walk through some of the documents. Kathy Covert, in understanding there may be six committees this year and one special committee, has drafted just the beginnings of potential meeting times for these committees. I will ask the chairs of the committees after this meeting or at your earliest convenience to convene the members of your committee to begin to determine when the monthly schedule of your committees would be. I will not be going over the committee responsibilities. You have those. There is a charge to essentially what the role of standing committees, what the challenges are transitioning 2009, and then the matrix for which committees can look at some of those challenges specifically in their committees. You can look at it by topic, or you can look at it by committee. And there are some chair's appointments. One appointment that will probably slip under the radar tonight, but we'll probably hear from in the future, is we have been missing a poet laureate since the first of the year. The Community Arts Partnership has recommended Jay Leeming, and that appointment is happening tonight. Jay will join us at a future meeting to give us his wisdom. That's my appointments, and I will simply just make a few comments to remind folks that Tompkins County Chamber of Commerce has an economic summit Thursday the 5th. I think some of you are signed up for that. And I want to thank particularly Tompkins County Administration, planning staff, and legislators who attended the Tompkins County Council of Governments, where Morrison, Representative Hinchey spoke to us, because I think that gave us incredible firsthand knowledge of what we're facing for stimulus package. Excuse me. So if you want copies of the federal bill, summary of the federal proposal or the Senate proposal, we have copies of those, and I think some may have been distributed electronically. And finally, I think many people know, but next week, I think there may be as many as 6 legislators going to NYSAC, New York State Association of Counties in Albany, and we'll bring back lots of information on improving our performance. Thank you for bearing with all that. I've made chair's appointments. We'll move on to reports by County Administrator Joe Mariano.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Frank.
Before you do that, serious. The question of succession came up this evening.
Yes.
With as many as 6 county legislators going to NYSAC next week, at least on a temporary basis, can we reaffirm the succession plan that was in place for 2008? Heaven forbid anything were to happen to any of you.
I believe if
it's appropriate, I mean, would it be...
Leslie, are you actually going, or are you going to be in town?
You will be in good hands, Frank. I'm here.
Leslie will be here.
Thank you. That's all I wanted to do.
Thank you, but we will attend when our government... our former GO committee will attend to that issue of the succession carrying into the new year, so we will not have a day when it ends and we're not, without who will be leading in certain circumstances.
Joe.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, in all seriousness, we should.
Yes. On to Joe Mariano.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have several items in my report tonight. I'll try to be brief in the interest of time and allow you a chance to ask me questions if you have any. First, on January 29th, there was a meeting with Paula Younger and several of you on the performance evaluation process for direct reports. The 3 of us are sitting right here that you will be involved in evaluating. By everybody's account, it was a great session. It was good training, and some of you weren't able to attend. So what we'd like to do is to reach out to you, and as soon as we can, provide some training for those of you who weren't able to attend on the 29th. Again, I think it was very well received, and the knowledge will be put to very good use. So we will be following up to set up a scheduled time for that. Fairly old business, shared services grant, the health benefits consortium, the notion of a countywide health benefits pool is moving along actually quite nicely to the point where a governance agreement that will basically guide that operation has been put in final draft form, a good enough form to take the state insurance department to make sure that what's being considered is consistent with insurance law and would be allowed to move forward. What we would like to do, because we have talked about implementing this plan at the beginning of next year, which requires a lot of lead time, we would like to bring the consultants to committees to be able to brief committees on the specifics of the governance plan, and if the legislature desires to full session for an abbreviated version of a presentation to explain where we are and where we seem to be going. But again, the process is moving along, I think, very nicely. An issue that has arisen often over the course of the last year since the lapse of civic facilities financing abilities by our industrial development agency. The civic facilities law has been a concern for all of us because projects at Cornell, hospital projects and so forth that have been developed have often gone through our IDA generating fee income. That fee income supports economic development activities generally in this community. A year ago, that authorization, that law lapsed. So our IDA has been unable to do civic facilities projects, and therefore its fee income has been affected significantly. Over the last several weeks, we've talked about efforts to get that on the radar for state potentially reauthorization of that legislation as a part of this year's legislative session. Over the past few weeks, Martha, Michael, myself, Mike Stamm, Gene McPheeters have gotten together to talk about how we elevate the issue in Albany and try to get legislation passed. There is a plan in place that I can share at committee with respect to how we can generate some lobbying interest. But again, our hope is that we can get that on the state's radar and make something happen over the course of this year.
Excuse me, which committee would that be?
Under the new committee system, I'm not sure which one. Perhaps government operations, perhaps planning.
Probably PDEQ.
Right.
Because I think some of us who might not be on that committee would be interested in being
very
briefed
good.
Also. So let us all know, please.
Okay. I will say that Gene McPheeters, who at a committee meeting a week or so ago committed to work with other chambers on the effort, has already started the effort. I'll be working with NYSAC and other counties. Mike Stamm will work with state organizations. So there's the roots of a lobbying effort that is under discussion here. I think the last item on my list is the federal stimulus plan. All of you should have gotten in your emails this morning, it's been a long day, a draft copy of a list of projects that we think would be eligible for funding under the federal stimulus bill. I can very quickly brief you on the status. With respect to where the federal stimulus plan is right now, the House has passed its bill, state bill is pending. We think it's reasonable to expect a reconciled bill to come out of Washington within the next couple of weeks. At that point, certain allocations of that money will be made to states. States, in turn, will then make allocations to projects throughout their states. So our goal has been to develop a list of projects that we think fit the categories that are in the federal stimulus plan that would qualify for that kind of aid, and to get our list to Albany as soon as possible so that we can be in line for allocations of that funding. I will tell you that some of the funding will come to communities by formula. We really won't have to do anything. Youth employment is a good example, where just by formula, the federal government will increase the allocation, and then it will be distributed by existing formula. Other money will essentially be competitive, and that's what we're talking about here. If you look at the email that was sent out this morning, you'll find that there are categories of aid that are most relevant to what we do. Transportation improvements would be the most obvious one, but energy efficiency, renewable energy, public transit buses, broadband, green jobs, and so forth. And we've tried to present a list of projects that we think are ready to go in the next 90, 180 in days and 2 years, which is the state's timeline. If you have the opportunity, please look at our list. We'd like some feedback on that. We'd like to get our list to the state as soon as possible so we can compete for that money. So if you have any comments, please forward them to me or Ed as soon as you can. Mike talked about the TCOG meeting we had yesterday, which I think was very helpful in trying to present a unified front on some of our local projects.
Questions? Martha?
I just want to thank Joe and Ed and Paula for their work, you know, very quickly turning around this the TCOG, and if this was already said, I apologize, I had to leave the room. To turning around that meeting very quickly. It was just last week that TCOG said, gee, we should have a meeting. And I think, you know, that the U.S. Airways magazine that Leslin held up, that the article, it was very interesting, the article, the real theme is about Tompkins County / Ithaca being a community where collaboration and cooperation is sort of highlight and sort of a hallmark of this community. And I think we saw that yesterday at TCOG with people from different municipalities who, you know, would normally be competing for money, really trying to figure out a way to further all of our, you know, our causes together. So I want to especially thank the staff for working very hard on that, just adding it to your plates at, you know, when it had to be done. Thanks.
Thank you. If there's no further questions or comments, thank you, Joe. We'll move on to County Attorney Jonathan Wood.
No report.
Thank you, Jonathan. David Squires, Finance Director.
I know that most of you probably saw the press release, though the press didn't necessarily publish the press release about our good fortune in the bond market last week. And it's a significant achievement. The county's first time that ever reached the interest rate under 1%, and we haven't seen that anywhere around in New York in years. To give you an idea of it's sort of like we thought that perhaps because the market, the financing market right now is so unstable, that by separating out our issues, we could broaden the amount of people who would be interested. And ironically, this financing was intended to stimulate interest from the banking community, and the low bidder wasn't a bank. It was an investment house. The rate we got was 0.73%. I estimated that we were going to get about 1.09%. I was hoping for 1.09%. So this at $6.5 million, this represents a savings of $23,000 over my estimate. And to give you a comparison of what the rates are today, Livingston County, which is a smaller county than Tompkins County, but it's an educational-based county. Geneseo is located there. They sold one-year notes at a rate of 2.2%, which is, if we'd have sold at 2.2%, that would have been another $75,000 in interest costs for us. So I just can't, you know, and everybody was shocked. You know, my peers in the are all jealous.
And no, they cannot.
And I hope that, but the market's still very unstable. One concern we have, and one of the rumors is, how is all the stimulus money going to work? Because if you look at our list, there are some big investments that we could make, but we couldn't make those investments on our own, and hopefully the money that flows to us is up front, so we don't have to advance on those investments.
You're going to tell us...
We're looking for banks to participate, and one bank down the street didn't participate.
You're going to tell us that the investment house was Goldman Sachs, right?
No, it was First Albany. First Albany bought our note issuance.
Any other questions or comments for David? Mike Sigler?
Just two quick questions. The one I'm not even sure we're allowed to do. If we did get stimulus money for a project, per se, could we use that stimulus project on something we've already done and then finance the new project at the rates we're getting now?
I would say no. You couldn't do that.
Good idea.
And your second question?
My second question is, I mean, congratulations on that rate. That's amazing. Do you think it'll go down even further? I mean, well, are we looking at like 0%?
Yeah,
I mean, Great Britain's at zero, so...
Well, I think this is highlights that when David speaks to us about the effect of our actions on our bond rating, we will listen a little bit more carefully. Mm-hmm. Pam?
Well, so, David, what do you attribute this great rate we got? I mean, was it your mustache that you shaved?
It was. Clean shaven approach to
Carol?
Is there any change in the fees that get charged to write these loans from what it used to be?
Well, it used to be that there's a bigger spread between what we would borrow and what we would invest at, but right now that opportunity has disappeared. In case you were wondering, we estimated in 2009 we would earn on average 2% for our money, which is down by about almost 80% of what we had the previous year. This year, I mean, we're getting rates of under 1% from the banks to invest our money. So even though we get the money at 0.73%, it's going to be earning 0.75% at best, unless inflation jumps up.
If there's no further questions, we'll move on. Thank you very much, David. It's great news. I see no county staff who are here to speak necessarily under the next report of county staff, so we'll move on to resolutions to be added or withdrawn from the agenda. Are there any? Seeing none, we will move on to the consent agenda. These are resolutions not expected to be controversial that can pass in a single vote. And I think there's one appointment, which unfortunately I don't have in front of me. You'll find it while I read the resolutions. For Facilities and Infrastructure Committee, Resolution A, authorizing an increase to ground transportation fees at the Ithaca-Tompkins Regional Airport. Resolution B, authorizing 5-year lease agreements with Avis Budget Group and Barrett Transportation Services, doing business as Hertz Rental Car. Resolution...
You're right.
A has to come off. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Yes.
A has to come off. Okay. A is now off. Thank you. So we're now voting on one resolution on our consent agenda. But the appointment is Youth Services Board, Deborah Ostick, Village Chairman for Representative. Her term expires December 31st of 11. Are we ready to vote on that one resolution and one appointment? All in favor of the consent agenda? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm rushing. Frank moves it. Do I have a second? Pam seconds. All in favor?
Aye.
Are there any opposed? That passes unanimously. Thank you. So A, F, and I. Okay. We'll go through the order of the agenda. Workforce Diversity and Inclusion Committee. Leslie McQueen-Claiborne, Chair.
No report. WDIC will meet on February 25th.
Thank you. Health and Human Services Committee, Frank Proto, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The committee has not met. We're probably going to set the same schedule as we did last year. The first Wednesday, Will is the only new member. You can check the schedule. It's 3:30 to 5:30. I've asked Karen to poll the departments that report to Health and Human Services to see if there's anything we may need to deal with prior to the second meeting of this body this month. If there is, we may have to have a special meeting in order to deal with those items. Now, as a special treat, Patricia Carey has told me that she's going to distribute to the board, and particularly the Health Committee, a summary of her meeting with Governor Patterson and what the outcome of the state's deliberations will be on DSS. Did I say that right, Patricia? Did I get you enough hot water? All kidding aside, Patricia will distribute some information to us so that we can be up to speed. I do want to announce that Alice has called a special meeting next week. Give me just a second. Excuse me, Mike. It's the 9th. It'll be at... I think it's going to be at the Rice Conference Room. Excuse me, is that correct, Patricia? And it's 12:30, and it's going to be to discuss the impact of the budget on the health and human services community, but particularly with the health relationship. And at 12:30, excuse me, the 9th, I know there's a meeting tomorrow, and unfortunately some of us can't make that because of other commitments. But the one that is for next week, Patricia did say that she probably will come with some information for that meeting as well.
I think the 9th, many of us might be actually already on our way to Albany. We would like to attend.
Oh, that's right. It's
please take good notes. Martha Robertson.
Frank, you said the meeting tomorrow. Is that, I believe, the Homeless and Housing Task Force at 9:30 tomorrow?
Yeah, I think that's the one you sent the email out on.
Yeah.
Is that, maybe you can say something about that one.
You know, I just...
It's 6th floor of the mental health building.
Right, that is, I guess, the... I'm sorry, I don't have the title. But I think it's about the economic stimulus package. Is it about the stimulus package and the effects on poor people, or it's about the economic downturn?
I think it's the governor's budget proposals.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I'll go.
Oh, wait.
Okay.
I think the one tomorrow starts at 9:30.
9:30 at the mental health building.
At the mental health building.
If there's no further questions for Health and Human Services, we'll move on to Facilities and Infrastructure Committee. Leslie McQueen-Claiborne, Chair.
Facilities and Infrastructure met this afternoon just before this legislature meeting. The items we took up were 1B on consent agenda, which went by, and A, which was pulled for just a quick revision.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the attachment part of it under taxi fees. It should read the second sentence that begins at 15%. What it should say is the increase would bring the fee up to $0.125, so 12 and a half cents, as opposed to 0.1265.
Okay.
So that's just a point of correction for that.
With that editorial correction, are we ready to vote? Harold, do you have a question?
No, do you need somebody to move it?
Second.
Oh, I'm sorry. Moved.
Oh.
Leslie moved it. Second by, I'll say Carol. That's her intention. Is there discussion? All in favor of Resolution A?
Aye.
Are there any opposed? That's unanimous. Thank you, Leslie. Human Resources Committee, do we have a vice chair? I don't have my list in front of me. Yeah.
Can I just say quickly that we will meet on February 19th, F&I?
Okay. February 19th. Leslie, by any chance, would you have as Vice Chair of Human Resources Committee report?
I do not have a report.
Okay. We will catch up next month. It will be a combined committee with government operations. Thank you very much. We will move on to present Government Operations Committee. Mike Hattery, Chair.
We met briefly before our last legislative meeting to take up Resolution C, authorizing Tompkins County to pay the difference in pay between military pay and base county salary to county officers and employees while performing ordered military duty. This is a continuation or a continuance of a resolution regarding paying this differential that we had passed, and since our military conflict has continued, we're extending it.
So you're moving
it. Move it.
And is there a second? Less than seconds. Is there a discussion? As an extension. Dooley.
I think I asked for a couple of resolutions from 2001 to be put in people's folders, and I did that because few of us were around then to understand that the impetus for doing this in its present form, or up to 90 days, came as a result of the attack on the Twin Towers in New York City and was intended to be responsive to being called up to active military duty, responding to those kinds of things. So to me, it has always meant that it's intended for the real hazardous situations of war zone action. And that's why I voted against it at committee, because there was no desire to second my attempt to amend it to express that. And I wanted you all to understand where I was coming from in doing that, and also mention that when I went back over the minutes from 2001 in government operations, I had even moved it there. I didn't have to do it on the floor, but I'm supportive of the concept, but not across the board for any kind of National Guard service, just this active military part. And so I'm not sure the best way to amend this. I'm sorry I didn't put time in on thinking about how to amend the resolution that's before you now. It may be when the employee is called to active military duty in a conflict zone, maybe that would do it. And I'll suggest that as an amendment.
In a conflict zone, is there a second? Will Brevank, do you have... I don't know if that's a technical term or...
I don't either. I could use some help.
That's the wording.
Combat.
The amendment is on the floor for that wording change. Mike Hattery.
Combat.
I mean, that's what it is.
We did discuss this in committee, and I think obviously I wouldn't claim to represent everybody else on the committee, but I think at least one argument that was made is that because of the extenuating pressure on a variety of military personnel. While it doesn't really impact current county employees, I can't remember the staff that talked about this, current county employees are engaged in the kind of situation that DOLE supports, is my understanding. But I would make the argument that, you know, there are a variety of other kinds of folks that who are being pushed in terms of the term of their commitments and their work, that I wouldn't want to exclude them because of the nature of the military conflict extending kind of the pressure on people that have various kinds of reserve and other commitments.
Will, then Leslie, then Pam.
Well, I guess it's a question for Mike or whatever. Do we have any sense the number of people who have been served?
Just two.
And what is the fiscal?
I mean, there's two right now that are involved.
And do we have any sense what this is costing us per year?
You know, we asked Joe.
Yeah. It's about $13,000 a year. And that assumes that there will continue to be two people on average on active duty receiving the benefit, as there has been. So it's $13,000.
And I don't know, you may not know, Joe, but did that spike? Was that earlier when say, the... it's always been pretty much...
My understanding is that we've had two pretty much through the conflict.
Okay.
I would guarantee that.
I have Leslie next.
Julie, although I appreciate the thought and sentiment behind it, for me, military service is military service. When one joins the National Guard, you're joining military service. Often when our National Guard is called to, I'll take a good example, the cleanup in Katrina, I think they provided more safety and security services as well as order, service of order, than cleanup, really. So it's hard to differentiate when you get called from one place to another what it will end up being, and I'd rather not have something in here that, you know, says if you, you know, are in the Navy, you get treated one way, and if you're in the National Guard, you get treated a different way, despite the fact that when you get to a disaster relief zone, you may end up doing more. That's not just cleanup. So I wouldn't support that amendment.
Pam and Frank?
Well, I'm happy to say something, but I don't think I raised my hand, but I'm...
I mean, go for it, Pam.
Well, I was just thinking that it really could get to be gray areas. I mean, for example, we have called out the National Guard when we've had riots.
Right.
We called the National Guard out for a lot of different things, mm-hmm. And you know, I think it would be one thing that we would have to look at really carefully if this is a large sum of money, if we had a lot of people. I mean, frankly, the financial pressures would probably force us to look more closely at it. But I feel that under the circumstances that we've pretty, sounds to me as if we've had just a couple of people do this, I think that that we should just include everybody.
Thank you. And Frank?
Pam, did you say we should just include everyone?
Yeah.
Well, not...
No, I mean, not just combat zone.
Right. Right. That's right.
Okay.
Not just
that's where I'm going as
sorry.
Well.
I sort of faded out there at the end.
Just to highlight a couple of items for you, too. A number of people that are on active duty often get extended.
Yep.
And sometimes the extensions, once they are no longer in an active combat zone, they're still extended in their service time. And they can certainly be, they may not be stateside, they can be in not a red zone, but certainly in danger, if you will. So I would urge you to follow Pam's lead and not just limit this to combat zone personnel, because they're extending some of the work that, for instance, the 10th Mountain Division has done. And it's not only disaster work. So at any rate, I would agree with Pam. I think we should not just have this in combat zone areas. The question that I do have, though, is we review this each year, as I recall, And we can certainly keep an eye on if it begins to creep into where we may have 50 or 60 county employees. We can certainly revisit what types of service, if you will, they're participating in, and hopefully by then we will not be overseas anywhere. Thanks. I would urge you to support this without Dooley, Dooley's amendment.
We're about to vote on the amendment of the phrase, I believe it was inactive combat zones, inserted in the first resolve after the phrase military duty. Is that where you attempted to put it in?
I think so.
Okay. Are we ready to vote on that phrase being added? All in favor of inactive combat zones, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4. Opposed? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. That, we have two missing? No. We have 14 here, and I only counted 13 votes. Can we re-vote? We have two missing? No, Kathy's right here. I'm going to ask for a re-vote, sorry. All in favor of that phrase as an amendment, please raise your hand and keep them up. 1, 2, 3, 4. Opposed? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. That fails 4-10. Thank you very much. We're back to the main motion, Resolution C, without that phrase. Is there any further discussion? All in favor? Are there any opposed? That passes unanimously. Thank you. Thank you, Michael. If there's no more questions for your committee, we'll move on to Planning, Development, Environmental Quality Committee. Martha Robertson, Chair.
No report, but I wanted to see from the committee list that I'm moving on as Chair of PDAC to Public Safety. I'm very excited about Public Safety and PDAC. With great affection over for you and for the committee, over to the new chair, and glad I will be able to stay on it, and look forward to, I think it's a great committee. So, but I think public safety is going to be very interesting. There are a lot of very important issues, so I don't know if this is the public safety report. But at some point, I'd like to ask that we... I see this in our packets, and I hope we can stay after and perhaps coordinate schedules.
Yes. So,
because I'd like to see a different time for public safety.
Okay, thank you. If there's no questions, Budget and Capital Committee, Nathan Shinigawa, Chair.
Thank you, Mike. The Budget and Capital Committee met, last Monday. Last Monday. Sorry, the cold is throwing off my sense of time. We had a very full agenda, but due to two presenters from STPB that wanted to present about the room occupancy tax issue not being able to come, we decided to postpone action until our next meeting. And so, therefore, a very long agenda became a very short agenda, and so I don't really have much to report on that. Thank you, everyone, for letting me be the chair of the Budget and Capital Committee over the past year. It was a good time. I had fun. I had a taste of the gavel, and I liked it.
Boy, we better watch out now.
It was a great time. It was really a pleasure working with all of you through that entire process. We had a really good collaborative process, and definitely I will be continue to take part as a member of the Budget Committee and, of course, of the school legislature. I'm also really happy and proud to be chair of the Government Performance and Workforce Relations Committee. I think we really need to start making performance evaluation a priority for this organization, and I think the best way to do that is to form a committee that has that particular focus. So thank you, Mr. Chair, for appointing me to that committee. And with that Government Performance and Workforce Relations Committee, we might have to work out a time change for that as well. So if anybody that's on that committee, please, let's get together after this.
Please stay around and contact your committee chairs. Public Safety Committee, Greg Stevenson, Chair.
The committee has not met since this body's last meeting.
Thank you, Greg, and thank everyone who's transitioning from leadership on some committees onward. Thank everyone for their service. I think we move on to member filed resolutions. On to Resolution D, which has been filed by Kathy Luce Herrera.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You'll see Resolution D. It's setting the salaries of members of the Talbot County Legislature to be elected for the term commencing January 1st, 2010, and I so move.
Is there a second? Leslie McBean Claiborne seconds. Is there discussion? Michael Hattery, then Kathy, then Pam.
Kathy, I'm not sure why this was brought to the floor. Why don't I, maybe I'd give you a chance to do that. My concern is this is something that was under consideration, although we had two drafts, two very different drafts that were under consideration, and just had not processed bringing one forward to the legislature. And as a matter of process, I would have liked to have seen this come to the floor probably through the new committee that Nathan's chairing rather than as a member filed resolution, because we did have it in process. There was some discussion. Certainly there were differences of opinion in committee, and I think partly what happens in committee is you can come to something that's a little bit better over the long haul. So I'd be in favor of tabling this and sending it, keeping this along with the other drafts that have been under consideration to committee as a point of process for mm-hmm. the legislature.
Kathy Luce Ferreira is next, and then Pam.
Thank you. Yeah, I think it's appropriate to bring that up. There's a couple of reasons. The first one is that I heard that it had been before committee three times and couldn't get out of committee. I got a little anxious, as you can see on the second, whereas it says, it is appropriate that the level of compensation be established well in advance of the election so that prospective candidates and voters will be informed as to the salaries to be paid for legislators for lost opportunity for employment during the time required. And for somebody that wants that put, if somebody's considering running, they need to know what they would be compensated, because as all of us sitting around here know, it takes a tremendous amount of time. You give up not just time with your family and time that you devote to community issues, but also time that you could be spend working elsewhere making money. And for some of us, that's a real economic driver. And so having this considered early and have it something that we have made a stab at discussing before the end of February would be desirable. I thought, since the committee was having trouble with it, that if we talked about it on the floor of the legislature, it might help flesh out the discussion a little bit. And as you can see, there's a substitute motion that's been filed, or I don't know, maybe it was it added or not. And I think it's serving that purpose. So I'd urge my colleagues not to table it so that we can have a discussion about it and maybe get the ball rolling.
Thank you, Kathy. Pam McAsee.
Yes, well, first of all, I'm glad to see that Kathy does acknowledge that there are times when bringing something directly to the floor without going through the committee is something that's worthwhile. I would like to move that I would like to move a substitute resolution, and I so move.
That's the one that's been handed out.
Everybody has it in their. And if we second it, I'll describe why it's different.
Moved by Pam, seconded by Martha, and back to Pam for your explanation.
Okay. This one is different than Kathy's. It doesn't include the language that Kathy's does, but more importantly, in the 1, 2, 3, 4th, it has a fourth whereas. It reads, whereas since the financial difficulties Tompkins County is experiencing require sacrifice by us all, the Tompkins County Legislature will receive a 0% increase in 2010. And then after that, for the second, so the first, the $18,700 you see there for 2010 will be the same salary that we were receiving this year. And then it will go up after that for the next 3 years. And I it just feels to me that that we need to acknowledge the fact that we are in difficult times and make this pass.
Thank you. Further discussion, Frank?
I appreciate what both of you are trying to do with the both these the resolution and the substitute. And I think we've heard, we may, if, regardless of which one of these, if one passes, the fourth whereas Pam just referred to, I've heard David mention that we're not destitute in this county. We're in better financial shape than a lot of counties are, but we're keeping a watchful eye on things. So I'd be a little concerned about saying that we have financial difficulties that we're experiencing in the county. I think it's more, it might be more appropriate to say something to the effect that we're sensitive to our residents having potential financial difficulties.
That's fine.
But the, however, this is still the early part of the year. We have no idea. We've all speculated on what the governor is going to do, what the stimulus package may or may not do, and it, even if it's passed, when the money, when the spigot will open and the money will start flowing. While I appreciate what Kathy said about setting the stage early, what harm would it be to postpone action on this until June, when we have a better feel for what's, you know, what our what we may or may not be experiencing? I mean, sometime other than now. Is there an absolute need to do this right now, Pam?
No.
Pam? Because we're talking about the substitute.
Well, Burbank is next.
I appreciate everybody's effort. I understand it's a hard thing to go. We are bound legally to do it in this time frame. Were I to vote in favor of one of these, it would be in favor of Pam's. I think you've said it. I certainly agree. We should not be giving us any increase in the coming year. But I also actually agree with Frank. I think he's made a good point. I think we have time. I would like us to send this to our newly formed committees and give it some more thought, and most importantly, give us some more time to see which way this economy is heading, because it seems...
I'll weigh in, then I have Mike Hattery and Martha and Kathy. The reason I think it's timely now is that soon, I believe, several people on this legislature may begin to announce their intent between now and May for sure, and I don't think it's as appropriate for people who we are knowing already that they're going to be running to be voting on their potential salaries if elected. I think it's best if we can do that cleanly before those announcements begin. I think it's better, the public is better served, and it just doesn't look like we're, you know, voting on our own salaries if we get elected. I will not be supporting the zero salary increase in 2010, because I do believe that we have to keep up with inflation ourselves, and if indeed the 0% in 2010 passes, I think we'd have to kind of work towards making that up in the subsequent years. On to, I guess, Mike Hattery was next.
The two are pretty different drafts, and they, in terms of resolutions, they have a lot of different logic. Is it permissible for me, while we have a substitute on the floor, to move to table it and send it to committee to be brought back to legislature in March?
Yes, it's permissible.
Okay, I'll move to table.
Did we agree to accept the substitute?
Yes.
I asked.
The substitute was not voted on.
It was seconded.
Moved and seconded.
But not voted on. That's why I asked. While we have both of them on the floor, I was asking, can I just move that we table these two, send it to committee, and ask them to forward something to them?
John?
Just one point of clarification. A motion to send something to committee is different from a motion to table.
Okay.
So once you move it.
So I'll move that we send it to committee.
Second by Will. The motion on the floor is to send essentially both motions substituted on the floor to the combined government Performance and Workforce Relations Committee. On that motion, Martha Robertson.
I understand that the texts are pretty different. The dollar amounts are different. I would submit that pretty much people already know what they think, and I think this is, this is going to be February 3rd. We don't know when the committee may meet later in the month. I don't think it's fair to the public to wait. I think we should just do this. I'm pretty sure people know where they stand right now.
I have Martha, then Kathy, and Greg, and some other hands. This is on the motion to table or to send to committee. Kathy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So far, we're getting done what I hope to do, and that is start fleshing out the discussion of it. I appreciated the fact that a substitute motion was filed and that we had the opportunity to look at different reasoning. I would submit that because of the, no, not the deathless prose, but because of the reasoning involved in the other resolution, that the one that I submitted is the one I prefer. Therefore, I won't be voting to send this to committee, and if I get a chance when the time comes, I'll be voting to accept my original resolution for further discussion.
Thank you, Kathy. Greg, on the matter of sending it to committee?
I would just like to note that it has been to committee. It was on the committee agenda for GEO several times, multiple times in 2008. I think we've had a fair whack at it at committee. While I don't disagree with sending something to committee generally, I think timeliness is an issue with both of these resolutions, and it has been to committee.
On the matter of sending committee, Mike Hattery, then Dooley Kiefer.
Okay.
Dooley Kiefer.
In the pile of papers I have in front of me, I don't know where the committee membership is. Is the GEO committee different in 2009? Is the membership different from 2008?
Yes,
I think that it's fine to send it to committee, and I think that the two versions are very different, and I think it's possible for the new committee to produce something in time for the legislature to act in March or even April, which I think is time enough for local elections to begin. I don't think we have a two-year campaign for county legislature the way it happens at the federal level, so I think there's time.
Yes.
Thank you. Are we ready to vote to send to committee? Michael Hattery.
Well, I had the reason I passed because I couldn't remember what I was going to say. And after Dooley spoke, I remember. I think the other substantial reason is that, you know, if somebody's going to run, neither of these proposals are going to change dramatically the compensation of a county legislator. I mean, they're minor tinkers, difference in terms of the dollar amount. The rationales are much different.
Are we ready to vote to send to committee or not? The motion on the floor is to send substitute and essentially the resolution D to committee together.
Point of a question about
yes.
Can we ask the committee to return it at a certain time? Rather than send it off to committee and it could be months before it comes back? I mean, I'd really like to see it come back.
Well, it would be up to the committee chair and the committee to determine that. If it's not timely, then someone can file a member file like we did tonight.
I believe that there is, am I correct that there is a procedure where you can lay it, send it to committee and ask it to come back by a certain time?
I'll refer that to Jonathan.
There is no particular, there's no particular resolution acknowledged for doing that. One could ask, but basically there are two alternatives. You return something to committee, you can lay on the table for a certain time. There's no real motion to lay on committee, to return to committee and to come back at a particular time. But certainly one could ask the committee to do that.
At this junction, the motion is to send to committee. I think through body language of the chair of that committee, he intends to bring it back to us in an expedited manner.
Body language.
You intend to bring it back in an expedited manner?
Oh, yeah, sorry, Carol's talking to the end. Oh, yeah. Yes, I do. I intend to do it in the
So we'll get on the record. Are we ready to vote?
What's the intention?
To do motion it in a timely manner.
Expedited.
So not take several months. take only a
everything is open to interpretation these days.
On the motion by Mike Hattery and seconded to send these motions to committee for consideration and bring it back to our body in an expedited fashion. Are we ready to vote? All in favor of sending to committee? One, two, three, four.
Wait.
Five, six, seven. Opposed? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. It fails 7-7. It is now on the table still, and we're discussing on the floor, and we're discussing the substitute filed by Pam McAsey. Discussion. Kathy Luce Herrera.
Earlier tonight, I talked about folks who had some fiscal fortitude, and I'd like to encourage my colleagues to consider the fact that having legislators whose salary is more appropriate, as the study that is talked about in my resolution that I believe Mike Lane had to do, the May 1996 self-monitoring study. No, there's another study. At any rate,
in 2006.
Thank you. Determined that average monthly time commitment was 30 hours per week, and another self-monitoring study in 2006 determined that a legislator's position qualified as being full-time. I'm invested in this wording because what happens is legislators that are not compensated in a way that helps offset their market value end up self-selecting, and we end up not having a real diverse and inclusive legislature. In other words, people that don't really understand sometimes the fiscal challenges that face everyday working people in Tompkins County. I believe that by having appropriate wage increases for legislators who represent the citizens of Tompkins County, we encourage the kind of diversity and inclusion that really makes for true representation. That's why I filed the resolution that I did. That's why I came up with the numbers that I did. I understand that times are tough, and the reasoning that I included in this shows that even with the COLA adjustment and adhering to living wage, which is something that a value that we hold and that we try to pay all our employees, the increases that I'm proposing don't really meet that. They still come in under it. We're doing the best we can here. I think it's a reasonable suggestion that I'm making here, and although lots of us would like to, I'm going to stop there. That's why I will be supporting my original resolution and hope that colleagues that not only support diversity and inclusion but also take into account the reflection of all specters of our economic and social backgrounds in Tompkins County will consider the effect that has and will vote for my resolution.
Thank you, Kathy. We're still debating substitute on Pam McAsey and Dooley Kiefer.
Did you just call on?
Yes.
Okay. What's going on here?
Lost in thought.
What I was doing was in response to what Frank had said earlier. I agree with what he said. And so in the 1, 2, 3, the fourth whereas, I would just say whereas since financial difficulties currently being experienced by many county residents require sacrifice by us all.
That's
a
wording change. I forget who moved and seconded.
It's not moved. Oh, I moved.
You moved it. Who seconded that?
And Martha seconded it.
Yeah, but if it's friendly.
Is it friendly?
But it's friendly because it's by me.
All right.
And you're a naturally friendly person.
Right? With that change, we're still debating Mike Sigler. I'm sorry, I had Pam and then Mike Sigler. I'm sorry, Dooley and then Mike Sigler. Dooley Kiefer.
Well, one reason I wanted to go back to committee is I think it's possible to meld these two, even though they seem very disparate. I think you could take all of Legislator Herrera's resolution whereases until you get to the next to the last one, which refers to average legislative salaries in 12 relevant chartered counties, which is information and data that we've never seen, so I'm uncomfortable voting for that part. So I take all the whereases up to there, and then I'd skip over to the substitute by Legislator McAsey, and instead of referring to financial difficulties of our residents, I think I would refer to the national and global financial, I don't know what the right noun is, meltdown, crisis, difficulties. It's appropriate for the Tompkins County Legislature to have a 0% increase in 2010. And then I'd go on and try to make up the difference in the next 3 years, because I actually think we're going to start coming out of this.
I did.
And make it 750 for each of the next ones. So
okay,
that's why I wanted to go to committee.
I'm hearing an amendment.
So I will amend it without changing the dollar amounts, but that's what I wanted to do.
Okay, the amendment without dollar amounts is taking the first package of whereases up until the second from the last.
This is so clearly committee work.
Kathy Lucerera's, placing them on top, replacing the first three whereases of Pam McAstee's resolution, but the fourth one now reads, whereas since the national and global financial difficulties being experienced require sacrifice, no dollar changes. That is an amendment on the floor. Is there a second? These are wording changes, not dollar changes. Will seconds. Is there discussion before we make those wording changes? Carol.
I'm not sure where this fits. I apologize. I understood that what we were voting, that what we would do if we didn't send it to committee, which would be that we'd accept one or the other of these. If we're actually going to go through and make this legislation on the floor, then I would appreciate the chance to reconsider my vote.
This motion, I believe, is wording change. I believe we might get to the wording change quickly, and we may get an amendment on the dollar change. We may be able to wrap this up in 7 minutes. If not, we can revote on sending it.
Can I ask to reconsider?
Yeah,
I think she can.
Well, I didn't expect that you were saying that. Sorry, I didn't misinterpret what you were saying.
I was asking to reconsider because I didn't understand that that we were going to be writing.
Motion to reconsider, sending to committee, has been put on the floor by Pam, seconded by Mike Hattery.
No, Carol.
By Carol.
Sorry. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. Carol and Mike Hattery move and seconded to reconsider sending to committee. Are we ready to vote on reconsidering sending to committee?
Will you explain that this is this a vote just on reconsidering?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
And you still have to vote.
We still have to vote on sending to committee.
I just needed that clarification.
All in favor on reconsidering, which is allowing that to come back to the floor? One.
To go back to committee.
Reconsider that motion. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Opposed? 1, 2, 3. That passes 11-3. Now we are back to the motion to send to committee. Do people want to debate that?
No. Somebody needs to do it. We're going to reconsider it.
It is. Does it have to get moved in a second? Is it back on the?
Yeah, it's back on. It doesn't have to be moved in a second. You're now reconsidering the motion to return to committee.
Yes.
You can do all in favor.
Right.
Is it debatable?
Yeah.
Is
there further discussion on the motion to send to committee? Martha, then Greg.
Well, earlier I voted to discuss it tonight, and now I really want to go home. So I said to table it.
Send to committee. So is there further discussion? Greg?
My sentiments aren't far from that. I was hoping to get one of the two of these, but to put them together here on the floor is dangerous. So I think we should let Nate have a whack at it.
Hey, thanks.
We want it back quickly.
Oh, yeah.
Are we ready to vote on whether to send to committee? All in favor of sending to committee? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Opposed? 1, 2, 3, 4. That passes 10-4. This is now sent to Government Performance and Workforce Relations Committee for returning to us at their earliest convenience.
And even though I voted against sending it to the committee, I will still enthusiastically try to bring it back.
All right.
You don't have a choice.
Other individual member filed resolutions. Resolution E.
Did we get to vote on that now?
We never did vote on that.
Nope. I agree, so we're here.
We still can.
Filed by Legislator Robertson.
Yeah. Boy, Jim. Uh-oh. I so move.
Well, filed by Legislator Robertson.
I'll second it. Okay, I so move.
So move, seconded by Carol. It's on the floor. Is there discussion? Calling for a revote for legislative chair and vice chair, Martha Robertson.
Yeah, I understand we've lost one of our members. And I was trying to figure out why we didn't vote before, and I think the answer was that it needed 10 votes, which is a very interesting reason not to have a vote. Was there some reason we didn't vote before on this?
I'll do my best to interpret. Your action, I believe, earlier in the meeting was to table one motion pending Resolution E, expecting that Resolution E would get us to a certain outcome. Interpretation of myself as chair and Jonathan concurred was, and we did not get to, your request was to table pending Resolution E. You did not get there because the language of Resolution E asked the body to take an action, but to actually do the action that Resolution E asked to perform requires suspension of the rules. The 10 votes is not required to pass Resolution E, but the action required by sustaining Resolution E would be 8 votes, requires 10 votes to fulfill that action. Therefore, we determined that, and there was a vote on tabling, that did not succeed because of that determination that your intended action would not be accomplished without eventually 10 votes. Is that clear as mud?
Yeah.
Jonathan, you want to explain it any differently?
Well, my recollection, it seems like it was 3 days ago, was that it was never moved. It moved to table the other motion,
yes.
And that simply didn't pass.
So correct. That's a very simple way of saying it. True.
All right, I withdraw the motion.
Withdraw the motion. Thank you. And we're on to minutes of previous meetings, January 15th and 20th. Who would like to move them?
Don't I have to withdraw the one motion?
You didn't add it.
You didn't add it.
So G was never added. We're now to minutes. Are people ready to move the minutes? Martha moves them.
With the changes as in your folders.
Is there a second with the changes in our folders? Will Burbank second? Changes in our folders are a particular conversation. Are we ready to vote on that?
This is all 3 sets?
No, just 2. This is January 15th and the 20th. Martha had it. I don't have it in front of me at this moment.
What happened to January 6th?
That's still under unfinished business, tabled indefinitely.
So we have to bring it off the table?
Yeah, I'd like to move it off.
Well, we'll do that in succession. First, minutes of previous meetings. Legislator Robertson submitted, and she has moved and has been seconded, including the amendments, which have this conversation as recorded, I believe, verbatim. Martha.
Yeah, that's right. That was a request. And I understand that Kathy or whoever's doing our minutes, they often summarize things or...
Correct.
You know, leave out levels of detail, and I thought this was important to have in the record.
Right. Is there any further discussion for approving these minutes with this amendment? All in favor, please raise your hand and keep them up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Opposed? That's 2 opposed. That was passed. January 15th and 20th pass as amended. And we could have some unfinished business if someone wants to lift that.
I'd like to lift from the table the other set of minutes, January
6th. Lift it from the table. Martha seconds. It's now on the floor for commentary, discussion, and possible vote. Pam.
I actually went back and looked at the tape on these, and really the changes that are included I found to be fine.
Accurate.
I mean, I actually listened to what was said, and I felt that they were fine.
I believe at a previous meeting our county attorney came to the same conclusion. He did not find reasons to not include them. Further discussion on, believe, January 6th. They are lifted from the table as amended, or do we have to do the amendment of the... As amended. Mike Hattery.
Those as amended include proposed changes to January 6th legislature minutes marked some changes in red, some in blue.
Yes, it does. That's what we're debating at this moment. Martha Robertson.
This was in our folders 2 meetings or 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
The same material.
Same material. Are we ready to vote on the as amended motion that is now on the floor? Carol Chalk.
Well, I think first you got to vote to remove it from the table.
We did that.
No, I think it was moved and seconded.
Oh, thank you very much. Ready to vote on removing from the table. It's been moved and seconded to remove from the table. All in favor of removing from the table? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Opposed? There's two opposed. I think there's not much. Been 12 in favor and 2 opposed. It is now on the floor. Thank you for taking that vote. Take it off the table. Discussion about the minutes as amended. Carol.
I just have a question for Kathy. I had given her a small wording change, and I just wanted to know if that was anything that was... I don't feel all that strongly about it.
It's just grammatical.
No, on page 5, rather than calling both candidates wonderful representatives, I believe that I said that both candidates were fine women and capable representatives.
I object. I'd rather be wonderful.
Okay, that is being proposed as a phrase change. Is it being accepted by...
No, please.
It's friendly. Okay. Ready to vote on the minutes as amended from January 6th. All in favor? One, two, please raise your hands. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Opposed? 1, 2, 3, 4. That passes 10-4. We have no other business to my knowledge. Motion to adjourn. Nathan, do you have some business?
I just want to say that Mike Sigler's resolution, I'm going to add to, about caucuses, I'm going to add to the Government Performance Committee agenda. So our first meeting, we're going to talk about legislative salaries and caucuses, so it should be a good time. I recommend.
Thank you, Nathan.
All right.
Can I have Public Safety Committee members here? We'll look at calendars, please.
Motion to adjourn. Greg Stevenson, is there a second? Mike Sigler, second. All in favor? We're now adjourned at unanimous, I assume, at 9:22. Right.